Thank you. If you have your Bible, open with me to the book of Colossians, third chapter. As we are going through this great book, we are now in the 22nd verse of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 22. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you to serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Now in chapter 4, masters, give to your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, we pray that you would take your word, touch our hearts, draw us closer to Jesus, teach us how we are to act as believers. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is Sunday. Have you thought about what you're going to do tomorrow? Some of you will get up very, very early in the morning. Some of you will set out on travel. Some will go by car, some by plane. Some of you will go to offices and get set up there. Some of you will go to plants and you will work there. Some will go to hospitals. Some will go to clinics. Some have figured out a way to stay right at home and go into a closet or someplace and work there. What are you going to do? For most of us, it will be something related to your daily work. Most of you will go to work because there is a habit that most of you have developed called eating. And you need to do one in order to be able to afford the other. Now, when we talk about going to work, for those of you that are students, I want you to know that you will go to school, and you may not realize it, but school is your work. And the job you do there will determine the job you get to do somewhere. And so it is very important. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to understand this. You need to understand that when you accept Jesus into your heart, he is coming to take hold and to guide your life and direct your life. And he is supposed to be the master of all of your life. If you're in church, he's supposed to be God in your church life. And when you go home, he is supposed to be God in your home life. When you play, he is supposed to be God of your play life. And let me tell you, when you work, he is to be the God of your work life. Some people have learned to compartmentalize their lives. They have little compartments for other things. They have their work compartment. They have their play compartment. They have their home compartment. And then they have their Jesus compartment, their little spiritual Jesus compartment. All nice little boxes kept separate from each other. My friend, if you think you can keep Jesus in a little box and you can't mix him in with the other parts of your life, if Jesus doesn't have a part of all of your life, then you might open that little box that Jesus is in and find out he's not there at all. You see, Jesus comes into your life to be the Lord of your life. Anytime you're living, anytime you're breathing, he is Lord of it. Hey, you know what? If you got Jesus, when you stop breathing, he's Lord of you then too. He is the Lord at all times, and he wants to be part of your work life. Being a Christian is not just a weekend pursuit. And it's not just a Wednesday event. Being a Christian is surrendering yourself, all of yourself. Listen, if you know Jesus, he's going to affect how you are at home. He's going to affect how you are when you're doing games or playing and having activities. He's going to affect what you are and how you operate at school, how you operate in business, how you operate in your work life. The believer is to serve God everywhere, all the time. Some people are real nervous about the concept of work. It really is strange. We have people that don't understand that someone has to work in order to produce something, in order for there to be things for us to possess. Somebody has to work in order for you to have food on the table. Somebody has to be behind paying for things, and so work has to be part of the process. And if you're a Christian, you need to understand God intends for you to work. Yeah, that's what I said. This is what the Bible says. If a man will not work, neither should he eat. Well, that's pretty clear. When we come into this planet, when we are born, God has a plan for us, and part of that plan is work. Verse 22, he says, servants, bond servants. Actually, it refers to slaves. Some have estimated that at least half of the Roman Empire were slaves. There were slaves in the church of Colossae. Now, slavery is a bad thing. It is a terrible thing. It is a despicable thing. And you know, some people have attacked Christianity because they say Christianity doesn't directly attack slavery. I mean, you know, take Spartacus. Spartacus launched an attack on the Roman Empire to end slavery. And Spartacus, of course, in his movement was crushed. But where was Paul's movement? Where was Jesus' movement? Well, I want you to know Jesus and his followers did do something about slavery. You see, Jesus attacked the slavery of sin. And your greatest problem, my friend, is your sin problem. Jesus met us at our heart's greatest difficulty. That takes priority over everything else. Paul preached the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Whether you are free or whether you are a slave, what happens to you in eternity depends upon you responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You living in sin and dying in sin and taking the torture of sin for eternity comes because you do not receive Jesus Christ. The principle of Scripture ultimately is a principle that crushes slavery. It teaches the importance of every person, no matter who you are, no matter what you have. When you come to Christ, you are a new person. And it should change how you look at others. It should change how you deal with others. Outward revolts do not change inward problems. You can't make people love each other. You can't make people forgive one another. You can't make people accept others or treat people better. But when Jesus gets a hold of your heart, he pushes the hate out and he pours in the love. Galatians 3:28 says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." There could have been believers, get this, there could have been believers in Colossae that were slaves that came to know Jesus. And then their masters come to know Jesus. And in the church, the slave would be teaching the master about Jesus. You see, Jesus takes over things and Jesus moves through individuals no matter who those individuals are. There's a book in the Bible called Philemon. Philemon is a story about a runaway slave. The slave's name was Onesimus. And Onesimus ran away, and he found himself in jail. Now, he was fortunate that he was in jail, although it was terrible to be in jail. But while he was in jail, he was fortunate because one of his cell buddies was a guy by the name of Paul. Well, what did Paul do with Onesimus? He taught him about Jesus. And there in that dark hole in the ground, Onesimus came to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Now, Onesimus is set free, and he wants to know what Paul wants him to do. He's been a slave. Now he ran away from the slavery. He went to jail. He came to know Jesus. Where is he supposed to go now? Paul sends him back to Philemon. Paul sends him back to his former master. If you will, Paul sends him back to his slave station. In Philemon it says, "Perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him," you being Philemon, "you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but now as a beloved brother." Philemon had come to Jesus, you see, and here comes the slave back, but it's not a slave and master anymore, it's brothers in Jesus. Paul said, "Philemon, he may have been a slave to you then, but he's a brother to you now." You know, we need to understand, how would we defeat slavery? By getting people to know Jesus Christ and to serve him as their Lord and Savior. How do we get rid of the crime problem? Let me tell you a secret. We will never be able to elect people to get rid of the crime problem. And we still need to try to elect people right. We get rid of the crime problem by getting people to love and follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We get rid of abortion by getting people to love and follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We will stop the flow of homosexuality when we get people to truly love and follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we will get rid of every other kind of immorality as people learn to love and follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Coming to Jesus is truly the answer for all the woes that we face as a people. Now, we're going to apply these verses today to the workforce because I believe that's where they are intended. And there's two categories that it deals with. There is wisdom for workers. Verse 22, servants, workers, slaves. Some of you are workers and you're going to go to work and you have a responsibility to work. These verses say that as a Christian, you should be the most reliable, most efficient, most productive worker in your business, in your place of work. These principles that he lays out here are to help you in your work. This is something that will help you. Follow the instruction of your supervisors. That'll help you. You need to understand when you go to work for some company, someone, there is someone who is in authority over you. You need to do what they want you to do. It sounds simple. People are rebelling against that concept. They want to fight against the man. Listen, if someone has chosen you and they have brought you into their workforce and they are willing to compensate you for the work that you do, do the work that you're there to do. Verse 22, obey in all things your masters, your supervisors, according to the flesh. obey. The word means hear under. It's to recognize the fact that somebody has to be in charge. You do understand that, don't you? Somebody is in charge. Wherever you are in business, wherever you are working, somebody is in charge. You need to do what they want you to do. The better you do it, the better things will be. We have a crippled work ethic in our country. We have people that don't want to work. We've got people that don't feel like they have to do a good job when they work. We have people that just are clocking hours. They're not really working the day. These are some actual performance evaluations on some of today's workers. You know, people do the worker evaluations. His men would follow him anywhere, but only out of morbid curiosity. Another one, I would not allow this employee to breed. Works well when under constant supervision and cornered like a rat in a trap. He sets low personal standards, then constantly fails to achieve them. I like this one. This employee is depriving some village somewhere of an idiot. She would argue with a signpost. He has the knack of making strangers immediately. Well, when you are employed, when you have work to do, then there are instructions that you are to follow. And the Bible is saying you should follow the instructions. You should do what you're directed to do. As a Christian, you have a responsibility to accept the authority of those that are over you. The time your work starts is the time you should be at work. The time your work day ends is the time that's been set for it to end. You know, some people have a heart attack if they're 1 minute past the time that they felt like they should be off. Give an honest day's labor. Now, you know that phrase used to be, give an honest day's labor for an honest day's pay. But let me tell you something. When you go to work, you agree to work for what is paid. You got that? You know, complaining about your salary is complaining about what you agreed to have as a salary. Work and show yourself good enough to earn something else. Make yourself someone that they need at work. If you find yourself in a job that doesn't fit you, that you're not really happy in, or that you think you're not going to achieve to be the best you can be in, pray that God will open the doors for another job. Folks, listen to me very carefully. It is much easier to get a job if you have a job. You know, you get upset at work and you walk out the door and you throw up your hands and you quit. There is no guarantee anybody else is going to pick you up. So if you feel that you need to leave, be honest with people, open and honest with people, but make sure you find a place to go before you set the trap that you have to go out the doors. In whatever job you're in, just obey the rules. You don't follow them in things that are morally wrong. You don't follow leaders in things that are unethical. You don't follow them in things that are unlawful. You follow Jesus first. But Jesus would have us do our work. Do your work in reverence to the Lord. The way you work is an is an expression of how you reverence Jesus. He's the one you're really working for. Verse 22, don't do it with eye service. You know what eye service is? That's the guys, the people you see that only work when the boss is looking at them. Boss turns away, all of a sudden they don't work anymore. Well, God knew that that took place. That's why it's in the Bible. A missionary in Africa years and years ago was over a group of workers. And as long as he was watching the workers would do the work. Now, this missionary had a glass eye. And one day by accident, he found that he could leave the workers for a short amount of time if he left that glass eye on the stool facing the workers. And it worked for a while, but one day he had to go away. He put his eye on the stool. They kept working. He went away and did what he had to do. When he came back, the workers were all laying around. They weren't doing the work. He was wondering what happened. Then he looked over to the stool. Somebody had put a hat over his eye. Listen, you don't work well because the boss may be watching you. You work well because God is watching you. You have a higher boss. Do your best because the eyes of the Lord are upon you. Listen, here's another principle. Do your work with all your heart, heartily. Verse 23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men. No matter what job, do it with your heart. Put your heart in the work. Listen, the more you put your heart in the work, the more you'll enjoy the work that you're putting your heart into. And you're putting your heart in the work because you're doing it for Jesus. That means if your job is working on computers, well, you're going to work on the computers for Jesus. If your job is filling out reports, you're going to fill out reports for Jesus. If your job is fixing a car, you're going to fix that car for Jesus. If your job is answering a phone, you're going to answer that phone for Jesus. If your job is doing some report for school, you're going to do that report for school, but you're going to do it for Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that is over us. Verse 24, from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. As you do the job for Jesus, understand God's got you covered. You may not like how much you get paid here, but God's got a whole better plan for your finances in heaven. And this talks about the judgment seat of Christ, where God is going to reward believers for what they do for Jesus. And so if you are faithful for Jesus here, God's got you covered there. And what God does for you there is far greater than what anybody can do for you here. And so we work every day. We do our best at whatever work we have, and we do it for Jesus. There's wisdom for workers. And there's stipulations for supervisors. 4:1 says, masters, supervisors, give your servants what is just and fair. Take a personal interest in those that work under you. Listen, if you're going to give them what is just and fair, you got to know something about them. So get to understand and know the people that work under you. If you have too many people under you to know them all and to be able to deal with them that way, then what you do is the people that are immediately under you, you get to know them and you care for them, and you give them the responsibility to do that for everyone who is under them at whatever level needs to take place. Your workplace should be a good place to work. And supervisors, you determine that. You realize some people that work under you will work harder for you because you're their supervisor. The other could be true too. Some people might not work so well under you because you're their supervisor. Try to take care of employees. Try to make the work environment a place that they want to be. Some companies don't care at all about employees. I found this notice. Notice to employees, including part-timers. Policies. Sickness. We will no longer accept your doctor's statements as proof. We believe if you're able to go to the doctor, then you're able to come to work. Time of absence for surgery. We are no longer allowing the practice of being absent for surgery. As long as you are an employee here, you will need all of whatever you have and should not consider having anything removed. We hired you as you are, and to have anything removed would mean that you are less than we bargained for. Anyone having operations will be terminated. Pregnancy. In the event of extreme pregnancy, you will be allowed to go to the first aid room when the pains are 5 minutes apart. If it is false labor, you'll be docked for this time. Be careful. Death. Death will be accepted as an excuse, but we would like 2 weeks' notice, for we feel it's your responsibility to train the person who will have your job after you. Signed, the management. Well, maybe you don't work in that bad of a place. But understand, if you are at a level where you have someone under you and you have a responsibility for someone else, do what is right toward them. Treat them right. Pay them right. Treat them the way you would want to be treated, and then go an extra mile in that. Do what is fair. Do what is just. Treat people in the manner that God would want them to be treated. Remember, you have a supervisor also, and I'm not talking about the guy that's over you. I'm talking about the God that's over you. And so you are responsible to God for how you deal with those that are responsible to you. Knowing that you also have a master in heaven, for one says. Those in authority still have someone to answer to. And then there is a Savior for sinners. Back in chapter 3, verse 25, it says, "And there is no partiality with the Lord." God looks at everybody the same. God doesn't look at you just because you don't have a very good job. God doesn't look at you any less than God looks at the one that's the CEO of the biggest company in the world. God doesn't rate you as worthy, as less worthy than someone else, or as more worthy than someone else. You know why? We're all sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and because we're all sinners, we all need a Savior. The best worker around you needs a Savior. The worst worker around you needs a Savior. The best supervisor you know needs a Savior, and the worst needs a Savior. The richest person in the world needs a Savior, and the poorest person in the world needs a Savior. Everybody, we know this, everybody in the Senate needs a Savior. And certainly everybody in the Congress needs a Savior. And Lord knows the president needs a Savior, and so does the vice president. And everyone else in our nation and everyone that's not in our nation needs a Savior. I am thankful my God does not have a pecking order. He treats us all alike. Jesus went to the cross for each and every one of us. He gave his life's blood for each and every one of us. He died for our sins so that we might have a hope to be forgiven. And if we will receive what Jesus did for us, our sins are forgiven. He took them away. He was buried with them. He put them as far away from us as they will, that we will never see them again. And he rose from the dead. And Jesus accomplished all of that for all of us and everybody else we will ever see. For there is no difference. If you want to go to heaven, there is only one way, and that is through Jesus. You can't work your way there. You can't earn your way there. You can't deserve to be there because none of us do. Oh, but we could receive Jesus and go. But if you reject Jesus, there is no partiality. See, the reality is, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done in life, if you reject Jesus Christ, you will be cast into a place called hell for eternity. There is no partiality. People go to hell because they reject Jesus. People only go to heaven because they receive Jesus. Which will you do? If you've never invited Jesus to come into your heart to save your soul, we want you to do that right now. Just come to him and come down the aisle and say, I want Jesus. We'll pray together. Jesus will come into your heart. You will be saved today. If you're online and listening and watching, listen, bow your head and close your eyes and invite Jesus to come into your heart and save your soul today, right now. And then tell somebody. Would you stand with me for a moment of prayer? Father, I ask right now that you would move within our hearts to decisions we need to make. Some, Father, in this room have never invited Jesus to come into their heart. They can't be the worker they need to be. They can't be the supervisor they need to be because they don't have Jesus. And I pray that this will be the moment they will come to know you. Father, I ask that you will control us as believers. And Father, if we haven't been the worker we should be as a believer, if we haven't been the supervisor we should be as a believer, Father, let this be the time we come to you and ask forgiveness and ask you to guide us, Father, to be better at the tasks that are before us. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come as we sing?